Please always consult with your physicians prior to making any changes to your treatment plan. Welcome to Living with Scanxiety, the cancer podcast, a podcast geared to help you navigate the pediatric cancer world. As a mother of a child who battled a soft tissue sarcoma for over a year, your host, Rosaria Kozar, understands and will help guide you through your journey. She brings the knowledge of experts, families, survivors, and other organizations tied to the pediatric cancer world to your doorstep. Her mission is to inform, support, and promote hope for you and your family.
I try not to go further than the cycle that I'm in or the phase that we're in. Because if I start looking too far in the future, I get overwhelmed and then I start getting really bad anxiety. So I can only handle, I think her first few phases, it was like, you know, days 1 through 50. And then I could do those 50 days. If I can get through these 50 days, then we'll deal with the next 50 days when we get there.
Hi, this is Rosaria, and I am here today with Bonnie Miles of California. She has a daughter that is currently in treatment, and we're going to talk to her today and hear what she has to say to the childhood cancer community. And she's a super advocate, and we're going to find out her Instagram handle so that you can connect with her. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy you could be here too. So why don't we start out with your Instagram handle? Because I know from looking at it that you're a huge supporter for childhood cancer awareness.
So my Instagram handle is at Bonnie and Macy, which is my name and my daughter's name. It used to be, I just recently changed it because I thought that this was going to throw people off on what I was doing. It used to be at the bare minimum mom, because I do not take the time to be over extravagant about things in my child's life. Like, her first birthday party was just a small get together and it wasn't themed. It was just a cake and her. And I think it's great that parents do that, but it is way too much work for me. So, when Macy got sick, it took me a very, very long time to get into the advocating world. Because one, I'm not the most articulate person in the world. I don't like confrontation. I don't want people to know too much of my business. But when I got more into what was going on in the cancer, the childhood cancer world, I couldn't handle it and I needed to say something. So anyway, that's how I changed our names, because it's just kind of our life and what is happening in her treatment in the childhood cancer world, what is happening to me as her caregiver.
What is happening? Do you want to tell Macy's story?
Sure. So let's see. In May of 2020, after the world shut down, I stayed home with her and I work full time. So I was working and staying home with her, trying to entertain her during the day. And Macy's always been an early riser. So she would wake up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning every day of her life since she was born. And then I noticed she started sleeping until like 8 or 9 in the morning. And then she would take naps, which she hadn't done in a really long time. And I kept asking everyone, does she seem off to you? Like, do you think maybe it's growing? Do you think maybe it's because she's been at home and she's kind of depressed from the pandemic and not seeing her friends? And then we went on a camping trip, and it was us and a couple of really close friends and some family members. And she should have gone bananas. Like, she should have been having s'mores all over her face. She should have been running in circles and riding her bike and chasing her cousins. It should have been a big deal. And she wouldn't walk. She had to be held the whole time. She just didn't want to do anything, like, at all. She just wanted me, and she just wanted me to cuddle her, and that was it. And I decided on that trip, something's wrong. But what I thought it was her, she has a heart condition where her arteries are narrow. So I thought maybe her condition was getting worse. So we got home, and I called the pediatrician. It was Memorial Day weekend, so they were closed until Wednesday. So I called them when they opened and I asked to come in, and he did his checkup and said, okay, her heart's fine, but just to be sure she's not anemic, I want to send you in for blood tests. And within an hour of getting her blood tests done, we got a call. And to be honest, I don't remember what the doctor said. I try sometimes to pull it back and I have no idea. I remember him saying there's something wrong with her blood. I remember him saying, you're going to need to pack a bag. I'm going to call you back because we need to determine if she's going to be airlifted or if you can drive. So I get off the phone with the doctor. I start scrambling around the house trying to pack what I can. I have no idea what I need to pack. I'm calling my husband and telling him he needs to come home and we have to go. So we end up in the hospital that night. I think we left around 3, so we got there around 6. Only one of us could go in, so I had to go by myself.
Is that because of COVID?
Because of COVID, they only allowed one parent in. Oh, wow. We tried to sneak in, but it didn't work. So I had to go in by myself and they had to start IVs and blood transfusions and all of that night, because she was so low on everything. And getting her IVs started, it was traumatic for her, for me, the nurses probably, it was horrendous. At 9 o'clock at night, this little girl, she was 4 at the time, screaming bloody murder because she doesn't want to be poked, because she doesn't want to be at the hospital. She doesn't, what are you doing? You're hurting me. Stop it. It was awful. I wish it on no one. It was the worst. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it sounds like one of those things that it just slowly progressed and you really just didn't know what was going on, but you had picked up on the little cues and.
Yeah, I say it all the time. I think if she had been going to school still and not been at home with me, it would have taken me a lot longer to notice it, because I would have thought, oh, she's just tired from being at school. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have really registered how tired she really was.
And it seems like you kind of had that flight response where you don't even really remember what they said. What kind of cancer does she have?
She has acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
Okay, so that's why they could tell right away and with the blood count?
Yeah. Yeah, her white blood cell count was really high, so they could tell that there was something wrong. They didn't confirm it with the blood cells because you can't confirm it. You have that way. You have to confirm it with a bone marrow biopsy, but the next day, the team of doctors comes in and they talk to you and they were saying, you know, these numbers are pretty much, that's what it is, but they didn't know the type or she has B cell, which is the most common. So they confirmed that all with the biopsy, but.
Yeah. And how do you handle or suggest other people handle day-to-day comings and goings?
So in the hospital, when we had to go for like long stints of like, we've been in the hospital 3 times. The first time was a week and a half. The second time was 3 days. And then the third time was a week and a half. So the longer stints, I've been fortunate enough that my husband can take that time off too. And we just switch. So like during the day, he will go in there for a couple hours and I will leave and go. Sometimes I work, sometimes I walk, sometimes I just go run to the store and grab the few items that, you know, whatever we wanted or needed or snack that Macy was craving. And then we switch back. And then each night, each parent, one of us would stay. And then the next night, the other one. So we switch back and forth because then at least one of us can be rested, because nobody's sleeping in the hospital. It's just not happening. So it always seems best if one of us can be fully rested and then switch. Sometimes I think that that's a blessing in disguise, because if we could both be there, I don't think I would ever leave the hospital room. I would never leave her there by herself. Not by herself, but without me. I can't, I have a hard time separating my being from her being. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of parents have the same issues. So it is nice to just step outside, just get the fresh air. And that is a huge help. And also, you can cry. I don't like to cry too much in front of Macy, just because I don't want her to be scared. So I, when I'm able to walk away and then just let it all out, and then I can go back and put the brave face back on for her, because I mean, it's important for her to understand that it's upsetting to me too. And I don't like to see her hurting or any of that, but it's also important for her to see that we're going to pull through it together. So I have, like, I try to limit the amount of time she sees me down. Mm-hmm. On the general side, like when we're at home, the things that I do to get me through the mental strain of it all, I started advocating, because it really helps to help other people. I do fundraisers to get items for people in the hospital, things that they would have forgotten in their panic packing. I do fundraisers for their prize boxes. They're always, our personal hospital is always looking for items for the teenage prize box, because it's harder for them to get. So we fundraise for that. And eventually my hope is to make that a big thing, but right now it's just small fundraisers. I work out on a regular basis, which is hard to do, especially in the beginning of treatment, but it was necessary for my mental sanity to just go and do something that didn't involve medication or another human being. It's just about you and that 30 minutes of whatever you're doing.
So self-care essentially became really important for you in order to take care of her.
Yeah. So I saw something the other day that was talking about how moms have a tendency to say, like, oh, just sit down and have a hot meal. And that's just a basic human necessity. So I try and, like, I feel like exercising and walking and all those are basic human necessities. But also, if that's all you've got for the 30 minutes, then... And it works for me, because it gets me out of my own head, right? But I know some people would rather sit in the bathtub for 30 minutes. And I feel like that's too much in my head. I need to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely differs person to person. I mean, I know a lot of people that like journaling. I'm more of a person that likes to blog or write like a book, but yeah, I can't just stop with one thing. But and then there are other people that really find a lot of help in yoga or other methods, walking, running, like you said, the bath,
right?
Tall glass of wine, whatever. But
you just gotta find your thing. Whatever it is that it makes you feel a little bit human is the most important.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. Well, I'm happy you're taking that time for yourself. And
thank you.
Yeah. So is there anything else? I mean, how is Macy handling this? Because how old is she now? She was diagnosed at 4.
She was diagnosed at 4. She is 6, and she will be done in with her treatment in August. The end of August. So we're almost done. The beginning of leukemia treatment is horrendous. It is very intense. And the first 30 days, they have to take a steroid. So not only are they dealing with the cancer that was trying to take over their body, and, you know, her legs were hurting and stuff, then they pack on a steroid, which is two-toned. It's, you know, it's to help them eat, because the chemo is going to make them lose weight, but then also it's to fight off cancer cells. So they have to take it for those 30 days straight, and they become holy terrors. It's the only way to say it. It's too much in their tiny little bodies, and it's, they're hungry all the time. They're angry. They have all these emotions that they can't deal with. She didn't want to move from her bed for a long time. And then when she was finally off of the steroid, she couldn't get off the floor by herself. She could barely walk by herself. Oh. It was like she was a baby all of a sudden, and she couldn't do any of the things that she could do. And then she was frustrated because she couldn't do the things she wanted to do that she used to be able to do. But now, after those first few cycles, or phases, as they call them, we are now in maintenance. She's doing really well. They had to drop her dosage because while other kids, most kids tolerate the oral chemo pretty well, Macy does not. So she had to have them drop down, so that she could stay on them instead of having to hold the chemo completely. So she has always needs to have some amount of chemo in her system. And they've just been gradually increasing it as we go, which has helped her a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's good that she's getting helped out, because the steroids, I mean, I've had friends when I was going through it and their kids, they had a really difficult time because of the rage. And
oh my gosh,
I think that's what you're referring to, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just so much anger in a tiny little body, and they don't even know what to do with it. Sometimes she would just sit there and scream, and it was like, she didn't know why. She didn't know why she was so mad. She didn't even know what she wanted. She was just mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so hard for them.
It's very hard
for the caregivers. So, that said, where do you see yourself going with her after treatment? Have you thought of that, or are you taking it moment by moment? Like, how are you handling the treatment and the phases and the road ahead?
I have rules for myself. Then this is another big thing for me for keeping my sanity. I try not to go further than the cycle that I'm in or the phase that we're in. Because if I start looking too far in the future, I get overwhelmed and then I start getting really bad anxiety. So I can only handle, I think her first few phases, it was like, you know, days 1 through 50, and then I could do those 50 days. If I can get through these 50 days, then we'll deal with the next 50 days when we get there. So now we're on 3-month cycles. We're about to start this week. Actually, we start a new cycle. So she gets her lumbar puncture and her infusion of chemo. And then we just do oral chemo at home and 1 week of steroids. So that should be fun. But I don't, if I start to look too far into the future, it gives me such bad anxiety about relapse and how often are they going to check? I don't know. Will they check if I just think she's a little bit extra tired? I don't know what the rules are, you know? So I just try not to go there. We are planning a trip for the end of her treatment. So that's like a big celebration for her that she's been looking forward to. But other than that, I haven't looked. I don't want to go too far, because then I will.
No, it's good that you spiral. Take it moment by moment. Everybody has their own way of handling it, but when you go moment by moment, I found for myself that it just made each like little thing that much more special. Everybody is different. That's why I love having a variety of people on here to share their own experience and how they're handling it and what they're doing. Do you have anything else that you want to tell people?
Don't Google.
Yeah. I just did a reel on that.
Yeah, just don't do it. That's actually, I have like a few rules. Like, I'm not allowed to Google and I'm not allowed to go too far into the future. Those are like the two main ones. And when I break them, it is, it's not good. Cause then I go down a rabbit hole, like with, the medications, like everybody knows chemo is toxic,
yeah,
right? Like all the bottles, like in my refrigerator, there's these big, huge bottles that say, you know, hazardous, and it's right next to my milk. Like, that's just our life, right? So I know that it's not good. I know it's killing her cancer and it's her best way of surviving, but I know it's not good. Now, am I going to go look up the side effects of that? No, I don't want to know, because if I know what the side effects are, then I'm just going to be looking for them all the time, all the time. So I won't Google what the side effects are of her medications. I won't Google, you know, what is the survival rate or what's the relapse rate or what, if, you know, what happens if she does relapse? Like, I can't go there. So if it happens, it happens, and we'll deal with it then, but I can't do it now, because then I'm just projecting and waiting for the worst all the time. And she's six. She doesn't need to live that way.
You don't need that. On top of everything else you're dealing with.
I mean, I know some moms who find it interesting, who can, you know, look it up and find it interesting information. And maybe one day I'll get there, but it's not right now. Mm. Not in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, not for me either. I had a really hard time knowing side effects. That wasn't something, or long-term mm-hmm. side effects, I should say.
Yeah, the long-term, yeah.
Yeah, so that I was going to look at a little bit down the line. So I usually end on a fun note. Do you have anything else you want to add, or do you want to the end game, so to speak?
I like that, the end game. Let's do it. Sure.
All right. So I just ask a couple questions, end on a positive note. And would you rather read minds or tell the future?
I think tell the future, because I don't want to know what everybody's thinking. That could be bad.
What song represents your life right now?
So actually, a friend, another cancer mom friend of mine, she sent me this the other day, and it's a song by Pink, and I believe it's called Wild Hearts. I think that's right. But it there's a line in there, and it's, there's no amount of, how does she say it? There's no amount of tape that's going to keep me quiet. Feel that might not be right. I'm gonna look it up really quick because it is a good line and it fits exactly how I feel about advocating and the lack of funding. And
that's something else that you advocate for, is the, or draw awareness to, or however we want to put it, the lack of funding for childhood cancer.
Oh yeah. I'm trying to bring awareness and advocate for these children and the lack of funding that they get, which has led to the lack of medications, the fact that children's medication is the exact same as it was in the 50s. And it was made for adults, not for children. I mean, doctors are taught, and I know this, at least my brother-in-law, he's a doctor, but he was taught, one of his first weeks of school, children are not tiny adults, so don't treat them like tiny adults. Well, if that's the case, then why are we treating these children with cancer like tiny adults? That doesn't make any sense. And the answer is because they don't have funding to create new medications that are better for them and more effective. It's plain and simple. And when I mean, I didn't know the cancer, like I knew cancer existed and I knew childhood cancer existed. We've all seen the commercials, right? I didn't know it was so bad. I had no idea that there was 43 kids a day in the United States getting cancer. That's not rare. I don't know why people are acting like it is. It's not. Mm-hmm. And I will not be silenced about it. You cannot tell me that that's rare. I mean, I did all the things that you're supposed to do. We ate organic and we bought only the good for you foods and the put on the sunscreens and do all that. Like, it doesn't matter if your genes decide to mutate, they're going to mutate and create a cancer. You have no choice in the matter. So yeah, it's a huge passion project of mine, which hopefully as Macy's done with treatment and I have a little bit more time, I will be able to get further and further into. but oh, I think I found it. Let's see. There's not enough rope to tie me down. There's not enough tape to shut this mouth.
I like it. That's a good, line. Is it, does it have Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken in it? Yep. Then that, yes, I love that song. Pink is one of my,
yeah, it's beautiful.
She's one of my favorites. So yeah.
Me too. And I just, I don't know. I've never heard this song and it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now it's my, this is my rally cry. I was going to say it's my rally cry.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that one. I'm gonna,
me too.
I just downloaded her newest CD, so yeah, I enjoy her music. And
me too.
And if you could write a book, what would the title be?
Understanding Bonnie. Digging deeper into the mental health of a young mother thrown into the chaotic world of cancer.
My last question is, sort of forgot, so I'll just ask you, if you can meet anyone in the world, past, present, whatever, who would you meet?
Can it be two people? They're married.
Sure. Me too.
Okay. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, because I love them. They're hilarious. And Dax Shepard once in his podcast said that I'm a trash can human. I think that's how he said it. I'm a trash can human. I'm just trying to be better. And I feel that. I think that we all have terrible tendencies and we can fight them and become better people to help other people. And I really appreciate that.
I like that. I like that line. And mm-hmm. Do you feel like that embodies you in a sense now that you've come into contact with such an ugly world like cancer?
Yes, I do. I say it all the time. I think cancer is terrible and it's awful and I don't wish it on anybody. But sometimes I can see the silver lining, right? Like I search for it everywhere I can find it. Like I'm a codependent to the core. Like if you've got a problem, I will make it my own problem and I will try to fix it for you. But then when you don't listen to me, I'm going to get upset about it and it's going to be a whole thing, right? It's toxic and it's toxic to me. It's toxic to other people. I don't do that anymore. I don't have time for that anymore. Like if you want to talk to me about your problem, I will listen, but I'm not going to take it as my own problem anymore. So that's a silver lining. I feel like I'm more open to other human beings now, and their struggles. And I just wish that I could do more to help everyone. Because I can see how easy it is to lose yourself. How do I want to explain it? To lose yourself to the point where you become homeless, or lose yourself to the point where you become an addict, or lose yourself to the point where you have a mental breakdown. I mean, I can see how that happens now so much clearer because I feel like being in these situations are the things that cause that to happen. So I am a lot more compassionate to everyone than I used to be, which is also a silver lining. I think that compassion and love for other people is so important and we just do what we can to help them. Those that need it.
Yeah, I think for me, I just the same thing. It just opened my eyes to what I want to do, where I want to be, and how I want to help. Mm-hmm. And then I saw myself not helping how I felt that I could the best. So yeah, I can kind of see, or I definitely can see where you're coming from. Not kind of, definitely.
I think, you know, I used to say that it seems like when something bad happens, you're going to go one of two ways, right? You're going to go down to, you know, not getting out of your bed in the morning or all day. And or you're going to turn it into something great. But I feel like there's something, there's a middle ground too. Like you don't have to do either. You can just be kind of in the middle and do what you can. Like I will probably never be like on Congress floor trying to fight for more funding. Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. Can't count it out, but it probably won't happen. But I can do the little things in the middle that maybe pushes somebody who does have that ground. Somebody who, maybe somebody who knows somebody who can get that going somewhere. There is a middle ground on all of it. You don't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And since I like to end on a positive note, we continue talking about cancer, which is awesome, which is awesome. I love this conversation and how it's going. I'm going to ask you one last question.
Okay.
It'll be unrelated to cancer.
Anything else up, I promise.
And it's, what's your spirit animal?
Oh, a giraffe.
I love it. Oh my God. I've never even heard anyone say that, but you just came up with it. That's great.
Oh no. Okay. So giraffes are the coolest animal. One, they have ridiculously long tongues. They have a ridiculously long neck, which they also use as a weapon. I mean, it's insane.
They are pretty
they
cool.
They just, oh, you're going to attack me? I'm going to attack you back with my big long neck. And it is very forceful.
I love it. All right. So we ended on a positive note. Giraffes are my son's favorite animal. And so
we could.
Yeah.
I feel like we might be best friends now.
Yeah.
He's never met me, but it's okay. I love them so much. I've loved them since I was a little kid. Macy's room was covered in giraffes and she's not that into them. So I'm very sad.
Anyways, well, this was great talking to you. I'm so happy you were able to take time out of your day.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Thank you.